Some scripture passages you just need to listen to. We could try and explain or rationalise, reduce down to what we are familiar with in our own experience, but this story of the miraculous is a faith story. It isn't meant to be brought under control. Transfiguration doesn't fit neatly into a practical Jesus, but rather it's a story that reveals a truth about what we believe about Jesus and who Jesus is. So today, suspend everything, close your eyes, and simply listen for a moment, which is exactly what the voice from the cloud at the end of the reading instructs us to do. Imagine you are there on that mountain. They were out of breath. It might not have been a long climb, but it was steep and the air felt thinner. Maybe that explained what they were seeing, not that they could see much, as the light was bright and intense. Just a minute ago, the sky was blue, the birds sang, the breeze blew. No different from every other common or garden day. Then, just as the three disciples who'd been pulled up the hill after Jesus were catching their breath, light erupted from the sky. The ground, the shadows, their heads, the rocks, the breeze, the singing. It was painful. It was coming in all directions. They covered their eyes, they fell to the ground, they turned their heads away, just as they saw three standing in front of them. One was clearly Jesus. The other two were unknown. Perhaps Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. Peter, in an intense moment of practicality, suggested three tents for them all. At least the light would dim. There were sparks of gold, flashes of silver, and it just kept coming out of everything, and it burned the back of their eyes. Hardly had his words left his mouth when suddenly it was like night. So intense had been the glory, normal daylight seemed dull, depleted. Their senses had been ravaged by heaven, and they were confused. What was up and what was down, what was their imagination and what was real, hadn't yet been put back in place. By the time they were able to open their eyes fully and see Jesus standing there in the familiar way they'd always known him, their ears began being assaulted. "This is my son. Listen to him." Just then the birds flew, the wind stopped, and the silence seemed to fall heavily on their mountaintop. It was deeper than they had ever felt, like a great hollow after the noise of the voice. The everyday, common things of their life and faith felt as if they were always just a breath away from bursting into glory. They never saw things the same way again. I have a suspicion that there are a number of people here, or at least known to us, who have had strange, unexplained and unusual experiences. I've certainly heard a fair few stories that take some swallowing to believe. Most of us, however, fall into line with Lewis Carroll's character of Alice in Through the Looking Glass, when she laughs and says in conversation with the Queen of Hearts, "There's no use trying, one can't believe impossible things." The Queen, of course, being one of those impossible things, replies with, "I dare say you haven't had much practice. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast." Why are we afraid, or maybe it's even ashamed, of confessing our belief in things that seem miraculous? Each moment of each day, we have the potential to feel connected to our God. Each moment of each day, God is with us. But sometimes he needs to catch our attention, and sometimes it's only in the miraculous that he can do that. The disciples had consistently failed to get it when Jesus tried to talk to them about who he was and what was about to happen. And so he takes them up a mountain, a place where they can be away from the crowds. Mountains had long been special places in the minds of the Israelites. It was the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments, up high there, on a mountain. Those of us who enjoy walking in the hills do so for a variety of reasons: to keep fit, to experience the grandeur of nature, to be quiet, maybe to be alone. Time to think, perhaps not on the busy ski slopes, but in those uninhabited places where we have a chance to listen, away from the cares and the noise of our modern world. Jesus needed his disciples to have an experience that would sustain them after the horror of the cross was over, and they had to get on with their mission without his human presence. The miraculous was necessary, not a conjuring trick, but something to inspire them and keep them focused, something to remember. This Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday, Pancake Day in Scotland. It's the day, along with Ash Wednesday, that marks the beginning of the 40 days of Lent. The word literally refers to the lengthening of days. For Christians, it's time to take stock. Secular society has taken it on too, time to slim down, to get ready for spring. Everyone tries to give up something: alcohol, fatty foods, hence the reason to use up all the butter and sugar and all the other delicious things in our cupboards by making pancakes, for instance. In the past, it was a time for real deprivation, but the deprivation was a positive one. It was supposed to be a time when life was pared back to allow space for God, a little bit like climbing a mountain in order to find peace. Next week, I will be going on a retreat, and for me, it's the equivalent of that mountaintop experience. In fact, if anyone knows Perth in Scotland and the Redemptorist Monastery on Cunhall Hill, they will be familiar with the climb to the top. It even puts some of Lausanne's hills to shame, but oh, it is so worth it when you get there. It's a place of peace and seclusion where it's possible to experience a little of the miraculous. It's time to put the ordinary everyday to bed for a while and look for those light bulb moments. We all need these times, and they'll be different for each one of us. God is the expert parent. He knows exactly what each of us needs. His difficulty, though, is persuading us to accept it. As we approach Lent and start to think about Easter and all of its consequences, here is a time to take a step back from the ordinary and look out for those extraordinary moments. Moments where God can speak to our souls, can revive and refresh us, can offer us each that light bulb moment, that moment of epiphany. So Lent for me is not a negative feast, but a time when we can do something positive. A time to open up our hearts and minds to the impossible, the magnificent, the incredible. A time to be transfigured, to be lifted out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. For we will have to suspend our feet of clay if we are to travel with Jesus through the sadness and pain of the cross to the utter joy of the resurrection. This is what our God has in store for us. Don't just hear it, believe it, and let it change you and me so that we too might shine like the sun, shine with the reflected light of God's love for us.